Koska. Judson Richards.
You wonder why Costa makes the big bucks. No one can reenact a great sports moment like you.
Here's Costa and Judson.
On a beautiful Monday, family. Hope you're having a great one. Thank you for being along for the ride. We'll visit with Kevin Acey, bottom of the hour. Get his thoughts. Judson's kind of made a little bit of a U-turn on the sheriff, Chris Paddock.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have shut him down.
What did I say in my update?
KGB Sco. We're just blending words together, ladies and gentlemen. It was a big weekend. We all had a big weekend, a lot of stuff going on.
Well, see, next Saturday I do plan on making a Costco run. So okay. I think I combined Sky Show and Costco and I came up with Sco.
And a word to the wise, do not park in the Costco shopping center parking lot if you're gonna go to the game and walk over. You will be towed.
What?
Just to let you know. Yeah.
There goes my Saturday.
There's always signs that say, hey, if you're coming here for the Aztec game or whatever's going on at SDCCU, don't park here.
You will
here.
Be scoed.
You will be scoed, dude. You will be scoed. 844-570-1360. If you don't know, the news that really rocked the NFL world this weekend, Saturday night, Colts quarterback Andrew Luck at the tender young age of 29 has decided can't do it anymore. Physically, mentally, the rehabbing, the pain, the going through this for the last couple of years, it has just kind of reached its zenith, and I'm out. I'm tagging out. And most of the sports world is like, dude, no worries, man. You were great for the Colts. You gave them everything. You literally gave them everything you had.
Where does this rank in the early retirement shock?
I think it's a bigger shock than, you know, Buster Olney had a great point on Twitter about Sandy Koufax, mm-hmm. who shut it down when he was 30.
Right.
And could have obviously kept on pitching. Someone made reference to, God, remember when Gale Sayers in the 60s shut it down with the Chicago Bears? Gale shredded his knee. He could not play anymore. He had to shut it down. Would have probably gone on to be one of the, if not the greatest running back in the NFL up there with Jim Brown. I think Andrew Luck, because of the position he plays.
What about Jim Brown?
Jim Brown, Judson, thank you. Jim Brown, another guy. I'm out. I'm done.
What about Barry Sanders?
Barry Sanders was just like, don't have the fire. Don't want to do it anymore. Calvin Johnson, a lot of people thought, what? You're just coming into your own. You're a beast.
And he was legitimately the best wide receiver in football when he retired.
You talk about finishing on top, although he never won a Super Bowl or anything, but he did. He was considered the best of the best. When he shut it down, I think Andrew Luck, because of the position he plays, and Andrew Luck is also retiring in the midst of the fever that is social media, whether you like it or it's a cesspool, where it was immediate and the reaction is coming from all different schools of thought. But I think most people, as Adam alluded to, man, that the people who booed, that ain't Indy. We take care of our own, we love our own, we know how to treat these guys, we know what they do for us. I think the bulk of the Colts fan base probably feels the same way. But then you had a bunch of freaking jackholes in the stadium as word starts to spread that boo the guy as he's walking off the field.
A season win behind an excellent defensive performance, a strong third quarter offensively from Tyler Bray and company. And now you're starting to hear the reaction of some of the fans. It almost, Jimmy, it sounds like some of these fans are booing as Andrew Luck starts to head back towards the locker room.
That guy's going, it almost, and the if you listen close, boo! No, you don't have to listen real closely. It's happening. No. Yeah. They had one fan mic'd up right there.
Boo! You're a bum, Rocky. You're
Luck.
A bum.
Luck, boo.
I'm sorry. The person that boos Andrew Luck, you're look within. You're an a-hole. If you're going to do that to a guy for having who had to come to probably, as he said, the most agonizing decision he's ever made.
Somebody really stuck it to Andrew Luck, because not only did they leak it, but you wonder how quickly they wanted to turn it around and get it out. Adam Schefter had it, and they sent it out. Was it just before kickoff? Was the game actually happening in Indianapolis? I was at the Padres game, so I was just trying to keep up on Twitter. But I know he was standing on the sideline. The Colts were partaking in a preseason football game.
Yeah.
And that's when they send the news out. I mean, Adam Schefter needs to do what he needs to do. I understand this is what he does. He breaks news. But, man, someone couldn't have been like, let's not leave him standing there with the sidelines learning of it, to it infiltrating its way into the crowd, to, you know, the guy taking his jersey off. And so he was, because he was supposed to address his team after the game. This was Andrew Luck's plan, to tell the entire team after the game and then have a press conference 3 o'clock on Sunday. Instead, he had to watch it kind of unfold in front of him as this news was out, and then do the press conference immediately after the game.
Hello.
And that's how he began his press conference, which I found very Andrew Luck.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. And I watched the entire 24 minutes of it. I thought it was, I thoroughly enjoyed it, to be honest. I always feel like whenever someone is making a decision that is not financially based, when you have a ton of money in front of you,
yeah,
you can always learn a lot. And we've talked about it, but I gotta say, Costa, the booze to me,
watch it.
The booze to me, I did not find anywhere near as outrageous as social media did.
This would be, it's almost tantamount to when Tony Gwynn finally shut it down. People booing him because they think, you got a couple more years left, T.
Well, no, it's a terrible example.
No, but I'm just saying, you have...
Tony Gwynn had been there for 20 years, but two
you
decades.
But you have a guy who is just beloved by that Colts fan base. And it's
beloved, right.
It's beloved. It's amazing how quickly they forget what number 12 did for them every single season and trying to come back for injury. The beatings he took early on in his career.
We want your thoughts on this, please. 844-570-1360. What did you make of the boos at Lucas Oil Stadium directed towards Andrew Luck? Text the show 70470. Begin the text with XTRA. Have you ever been let down by somebody you love?
Yes.
Did you immediately stop loving them?
No. So, and normally in my life, it's the converse.
You usually let people down. And thank goodness they don't stop loving you.
True.
You just mentioned how beloved Andrew Luck was.
Mm-hmm.
Can't they feel let down? Can't they be disappointed?
Of course
without,
they can.
Without you taking to Twitter, speaking of low-hanging fruit and calling them all POSs if you booed Andrew Luck, can't they feel a little bit let down without just the, you know, I mean, the reaction to it was so over the top.
Justin,
where really, it's in the moment. And you feel like he is quitting on you. I respect Andrew Luck. I applaud his decision. But it is not hard for me to connect where a fan base would feel in some way, shape, or form let down.
Listen, when Toph screws up at our house and we have to, you know, haul him on the carpet or discipline or something like that, yeah, you feel let down. You feel angry. But I don't sit there and just belittle him and rip on him. And the people that feel crushed and you feel disappointed and you feel let down, it doesn't mean that, okay, just start booing the guy. Feel crushed. Feel like, damn it, I'm pissed. This is the worst.
But yeah, they did that by booing. They didn't throw things at him.
You don't boo him.
Dan wants to weigh in. Hey, Dan, good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, guys. Great show. Hey, man. My initial reaction was to boo Andrew Luck as well. But the more I lived, you know, the day went on. It's, yeah, you know what? All right, he's beat up. He's tired. It's his choice. But when you said Tony Gwynn, come on, dude. I can't accept that. You need to retract that. Tony was in a total different class than Andrew Luck.
Dan, I'm not going to retract it. I'm saying just based on fan love of the player. I'm not saying because he played 20 and Andrew only played as much as he did. I'm saying overall, like, he's one of ours. We love him to death. That's what I'm equating it to.
Dan has called in representing the company for bad analogies.
Yeah.
And he wants you.
There will be no retraction, Dan.
There will not be, Dan. 844-570-1360. I feel like it's okay for Colts fans to feel let down by Andrew Luck.
I'm with you lockstep, but it doesn't mean that you immediately go to booing the man.
That is the outlet that we know is disappointment. Fans boo all the time for teams that they care about to let them know their disappointment.
But again,
whether that's the Padres trotting off the field after giving up 7 runs in an inning, they boo them. It doesn't always mean it's the right thing to do. It certainly doesn't mean that I would do it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the vitriol that's thrown towards Colts fans, I do feel like it's not necessarily fair just because we call them fans, because they're fanatic, and they have hung their hat on Andrew Luck. Like, Andrew Luck is the toughest dude that they know.
Without a doubt.
Now, it's that toughness for Andrew, if we connect the dots of why he's had to shut it down.
It inevitably was his downfall.
Yeah.
Being as tough as he is.
But at the same time, if the one that you know that you can always depend on, the one that represents you, decides to, what that fan base felt like was quit, I understand it.
No. Okay, you might, but it doesn't make it right, and it's not
okay. It doesn't make it as wrong as everyone else is making it out to be.
Yeah, it does, because the guy did no wrong for you as an Indianapolis Colts fan.
Well, the wrong was in him retiring at 29. To the fan base, that is their wrong. Let's go to Caesar. 844-570-1360. Caesar, on a Monday, what's up, dude?
Hey, good morning, guys. Just a quick pointer to the whole Andrew Luck thing. If he had plans or even was entertaining retirement, he should have done it at the end of last season. The last game is over, you retire. You don't leave your team the way he did it now after the third preseason game, hanging with no option to replace you. You do it at the end of last season. You say thank you. Now, if he felt later on that I need to retire, you know, you have to stick it out for the rest of the season. Since the draft passed, deadline passed, and came and gone, then you retire. You don't leave your team hanging like that.
But Caesar, they have a pretty good option in Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett is not some free agent quarterback who's never started a game before. Is there a drop off from Andrew to Jacoby Brissett? Sure. But they're in a lot better shape than a lot of teams would be.
And Caesar, important to keep in mind that this wasn't a plan at the end of last season. It had to do with the injury that he came down with 5 months ago. And it's this calf Achilles where they don't really understand what exactly is going on. This is what Andrew Luck has fought through. 6 years, torn cartilage in two ribs, a partially torn abdomen, a lacerated kidney that left him peeing blood, at least one concussion, which it's so funny that Andrew Luck has
one.
Had one. It's not funny by any means, but to see it, it's like, okay, watch one Andrew Luck
one
football
that they
game.
Documented.
Yeah, well, that's the list of things that we know about. Andrew Luck is a tough dude. You got to imagine he's been playing through more stuff that we don't know about.
Right. A torn labrum in his throwing shoulder, which he missed the entire year. And then, you know, it says the mysterious calf and ankle issue. And I think it's the mystery. It's the great unknown of what exactly is going in his body. Like, you know, if this was a very simple diagnosis as a calf strain, okay, like he'd be back in 3 weeks or a month. But this thing has been lingering for 5 months since he's been getting ready for the season and working out. And that's the great unknown. But to me, as misguided as it is, somewhere in there is the love affair of what Colts fans have had with Andrew Luck.
But I still don't get it. If the guy had been somewhat of a jerk, or, you know, let's say this is Brett Favre, who was, I'm going to retire.
If you were
I'm
a jerk, you'd cheer, Costa. If you were a jerk and you wanted rid of him, you would cheer him walking off the
field.
Right,
but I just go back to the fact that Andrew Luck did no wrong, and Andrew Luck physically gave of his body to that franchise and, in effect, to that fan base. Be pissed, be upset, be freaking out about your fantasy team. I don't know, wherever you're coming from as far as the being, you know, really ticked off that he's no longer there, but you don't boo the guy. There's no reason to boo him.
From the 619, the boos were douchey like Costa's White Watch. Blame the general manager that could have protected him more on the offensive line.
Now, there is a lot to that statement that I agree with. You're right.
760, booing a guy for retiring due to mental health concerns. Real cool. Not.
And a lot of it is on the Colts. Not only not being able to diagnose what's wrong with Andrew Luck, but again, those first couple of years, I implore you, go search up Andrew Luck highlights on YouTube or wherever you want to go. The guy got manhandled, but still came back for more.
Let's go to Raul out there in Chula Vista with us on Extra 1360. Hey, Raul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. If anything, I think they probably were booing him out of frustration because this is the year they were one of the top teams to favored to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were. You're right.
Oh,
they,
no doubt.
They talked in terms of they made the moves with the offensive line. It was that much better, one of the best in the NFL. They also made the moves on the other side of the football to get Luck in that offense the ball back. So, yeah, no, I absolutely that is a major point of frustration for the Colts fan.
PA is waiting on Twitter. He says, good for you, Judson. I agree. The fans had a right to boo him walking away the way he did. Rodell says, hey, Costa, do you guys have Bengal Friday at Extra 1360 just like we do?
No, it's Apple Fritter Friday.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Check the web.
Check. Yeah. There's
go vote on the poll.
There's a web that's going crazy. Before we get back to Chris Paddock, Kevin Acey will join us at 7:30. Cannot wait to get Nick's take on this at 8 o'clock. Nick Hardwick in studio entire 8 o'clock hour. Tyler Gaffney, teammate of Andrew Luck at Stanford, will join us at 8:15 as well. But it's important to keep in mind that this really, it was the 2016 season that set up how he felt like 2019 was going to be like 2016 and why he had to shut it down.
I've been stuck in this process. I haven't been able to live the life I want to live, taking the joy out of this game. And after 2016, where I played in pain and was unable to regularly practice, I made a vow to myself that I would not go down that path again. I find myself in a similar situation, and the only way forward for me is to remove myself from football in this cycle that I've been in.
I remember Bill Walton talking in terms of he was in such terrible pain because of his back.
Mm-hmm.
He did go into that area of, I don't want to live anymore with this.
Sure.
And I don't know if Andrew Luck was there, but never having had to live with any sort of eternal pain. Again, if you don't know what the person's going through, you really can't make an educated guess on is he making the right decision or the worst decision. Let's go to Juan Carlos. Hey, Juan Carlos, thanks for calling us, buddy. How's your Monday going?
Very good. How you guys doing?
Good, brother. Where do you land on the Andrew Luck argument? Should he have been booed?
I don't think he should have been booed, but people do have the right to boo him. But we also have the right to bash the fans for being idiots. It's a two-way street.
You're right.
Juan Carlos, have you been bashing?
Oh, of course.
Right. And I mean, that's true. You do have the right to bash. Everyone's got the right to do whatever they want. To me, it was a little bit more of like an eyebrow or like, okay. But to me, I've always felt like when you buy tickets, it's why I do not fault fans, because we have this conversation all the time. What about booing your own team? Like, what about, you know, we've had young Padres out there, pitchers on the mound, they've gotten beaten up, and then you boo him, and it's like, well,
a boo.
Is that really the message that you want to send? It's like, well, I don't know if it's the message that I would send, but guess what? You paid to send your message, and you did it in a way that is allowed by booing or cheering, not by loading up marshmallows with batteries like you're the Philadelphia Phillies fans.
If the fans had cheered and stood up and clapped as he walked off the field, what would your reaction been?
Would that have been classy?
Happy he was shutting it down.
That would have been a classy move. Am I expecting a raucous crowd to always lean towards the classy? No. I expect more of the mob mentality, not a group of people who are just like, bravo, Andrew, bravo. Because the expectations are so high, and this is the guy that you are leading on. I mean, Andrew Luck, I really don't think, even you, Costa, I really don't think you in the moment would be like, good for Andrew Luck and putting his family first. The reaction more is, we're screwed. We are screwed. We were heading the freaking Super Bowl, and Andrew Luck is shutting it down. And this team that I love and these season tickets that I have, we are now screwed. That is what I would expect. And do I think that it's absolutely the wrong thing? I mean...
Oh my God. Again, if the guy had been... kind of standoffish and I'm better than you and kind of had that Stanford attitude,
Costa,
about him.
This isn't about being likable. This to them was about the Colts. This is about the Colts winning football games.
Yeah, but you have a guy who is very likable and a guy who
It's not about him being likable. That's what I'm saying. It's about Andrew Luck, the quarterback that virtually put you on his back
to win 11 games body parts.
The first 3 years that he was there. This was your ride or die dude. This was the one dude that no matter what, you could count on because he's tough as nails. It's what ran him out of the NFL, but it's also why you thought that he would always be there for you. And at 29 years of age, with $58 million due on his contract, you know what's very rarely going to offend me? The obvious. The obvious is very rarely going to offend me because I should see it coming. And Andrew Luck walking off the field and getting booed as everyone is learning that he is shutting it down because to us, he retired. To a lot of those Colts fans, in the moment, he quit. He quit. And that is not hard to connect the dots.
Yeah, he did. He did. You can say retire, you can say quit, but the fact that you lose sight of or you lose memory of what he has done for you as your quarterback so quickly that you immediately just boo him? No, you don't boo the guy. If anything, you sit there in stunned silence, shocked with your mouth agape, like a lot of us were when we learned on social media that he was shutting it down, but immediately just go, boo! Come on, that's bad. That's a bad look for some Colts fans.
So, about last night.
What the f*** happened last night?
Judson and Costa have this morning's trending topics.
Again, Nick Hardwick in studio, 8 o'clock. His teammate is San Diego, and Tyler Gaffney went to Stanford, play with Andrew Luck. He'll join us at 8:15. Kevin Acey coming up in 8 minutes. Should Chris Paddock shut it down? We'll talk to Kevin Acey about that. Fletch, where do you come out on this?
I'm going to have to agree with Judson Costa. I'm sorry, but that poor fan base, man. They just got their guy, their love. They've been married to this dude since he's been in the NFL.
I know.
And to get him ripped out from under you, it makes sense in the moments of boo. I guarantee you they're going to make up for it, man. They love that guy still.
No, they
appreciate what he did.
Genie's goodness. No, he's never going to buy another meal walking around town.
No.
It is already affecting the front office.
You only have one shot to make a first impression. Genie's out of the bottle. They booed him as he walked off the field.
I bet you he expected it. He went into it knowing that he was letting a lot of people down.
He didn't say that.
There's a reason why he wanted to tell them after the game.
Oh, sure. It was a terrible way for it to be rolled out, and it was beyond his control. He told Jacoby Brissett this past Friday that he was going to do what he did, or was planning the way he was going to do it. The Colts knew going back into March, we're hearing that, he was contemplating retirement. But at the same time, you don't boo the guy.
Florio is also reporting that the Colts front office phones have been lit up this morning with people taking back or wanting refunds for their season tickets.
Sure, I get it. This from Rob and PB. I think this is what may have been being said throughout the stands. Rob and PB says he retired over a calf, candy ass. I mean, it's like...
you're right, exactly. Well, he's got an ankle sprain? What the hell? He's quitting?
Right. I think people see him walking upright.
Unintelligent.
They're like, look at him right there. He's fine. He's not even limping.
Put a football in his hand. See what happens.
The guy's fine.
So what if he's peeing blood and doesn't have a liver? Get your ass out there.
Well, that's a little bit of what comes with it. Dude, it was not classy.
It was ugly.
I would not do it. And I don't think Andrew Luck deserved it by any means, but do I understand it? Yeah, I in the moment, it's okay to feel let down. It's happened to all of us. And guess what? It doesn't mean that we never respect, never love that person ever again. But that's what happened with Andrew Luck. In the moment, it was screw you, Andrew. You quit on us. Unbelievable. You know who else quit on us? Major League Baseball with those uniforms over the weekend.
That is a given.
Those were awful. Well,
what did we do to deserve this baseball?
I wish those uniforms could get scoted away from Costco parking lot.
Scoted. Seriously, scoted. Don't miss KGB Sco. 44th annual KGB Sco.
No.
Rocky Long tomorrow at 7:30, 44th annual KGB Sky Show coming up this weekend. And more importantly, Weber State in town for Aztecs football to begin. Francisco Mejia, Padres' new outfielder? And should Chris Paddock shut it down for the rest of the season? Kevin Acey will.
Cannons coming up at 3 o'clock today. The Dodgers are in town to take on the Padres. Padres have dreams of being the team in the NL West in the 2020s. How far do they have to climb to get over the Dodgers? We're going to tell you. On Extra 1360, Fox Sports San Diego, and FM 103.3.
We are all still regrouping from those uniforms over the weekend. At least it was easy to tell the home team and the away team.
Yeah, they wore their home whites.
Yeah. Very creative.
Terrible.
Kevin Acey, San Diego Union Tribune, with us on Extra 1360. Kevin, was fun chatting with you in the press box Saturday night. Good morning, buddy.
Highlight of my weekend.
You are such a good liar.
It really was a bad weekend,
wasn't it? Why would you say that? Wait, would that cost? Where would you say that?
Sorry, you're right. I am assuming.
Yeah.
You may really feel that way about Judson. That makes one person out there.
Yeah, stop acting like a Colts fan, Costa. All right?
I'm pretty sure I saw a picture of his lovely wife-to-be, and I'm pretty sure she feels the exact same way. And some neighbor somewhere in Alpine is fortunate to have the Richards and the future Richards.
That's right. Yeah. Our neighbors, they may not like the parking situation coming up on November 9th, but we won't let them stay too long. Kevin, let's be with Francisco Mejia. You know, one of the parts about the Cleveland Indians trade, I remember Francona talking about it where Mejia really, really did not want to be an outfielder. And Francona was like, we're trying to help him understand this is the best way for you to be in the bigs as of now. Has Mejia accepted a little bit more the role of becoming an outfielder?
Well, here's two things, and one of them is fact, and then one of them is something that I think the Padres would love to have to be a residual benefit. One is that Francona was right, and that is, you know, look, you're not a very great, you know, you're not a great catcher, let's say. But man, we really value you as a hitter, and this is the way to line up. So that's one. The other is, like, if you want to be a catcher, buddy, get better. You know, like, get better. And you like being in the lineup? Here's a taste of it. This is great. You can't play catcher every day. We have to have this other guy play. First off, I don't think he's going to play catcher every day anyway, because there's like a handful of those guys anymore, right? I've seen a couple when we go around where in all series, you're going to see Yadier Molina, JT Realmuto. But like, you want to play catcher more? Get better at catcher.
Kevin, as Chris Paddock continues on, one, are you surprised that they are still rolling him out there? And what do you think is the Padres' mindset of having him continue to pitch? Do they want him more or less to kind of go through these groin pains heading into next season?
I think that's it. And the way that they've handled it throughout, which is, you know, stretching him out 5, 6, 7 days in between starts. I believe got up to 8 once based on what the schedule was. Then, you know, that and then the 10 days off in June, that has allowed him, they made him the last starter coming out of the All-Star break. So all of that has allowed it. We're like, hey, you can get this guy 26, 27 starts if that's what is, you know, what we think that he looks like he should be doing in September, as in, you know, the velocity is up, the health is up. And look, there are signs that he's not going to make it all the way to the end. That is what they would like. That's what everyone has convinced me, that they are telling the truth, that that's what they would like. And that a part of that, there's two reasons. And one is what you just said, the growing pains. Look, he got, and I think it was his words, his teeth kicked in. Mm-hmm. And I believe he was telling the truth. And so is everyone else in that organization, that it was the first time they saw this kid. It was against the Red Sox on Friday. And no matter what had happened before, a rough one against the Phillies, a rough one against the Dodgers, a rough one against the Mets, he hadn't looked like this. Not his face, not his body language, not what was happening. He just, you know, this was it. It's like, okay, how's he going to respond? And, you know, for the most part, especially for a rookie who sped through the minors, every time he's responded pretty well. So that's one part. The other part is, in the future, if you want a guy who's not going to be on a short leash, you want a guy who's going to go 160, 170, 180 plus, you don't shut him down at 117 and two-thirds now, because he's not going to make a 60-inning jump next year.
You know, Kevin, I've kind of I've been on the train of thought that it's healthy to take your lumps. And, you know, not just for Chris Paddock, but for all guys. It's like, even though things aren't going well, it doesn't mean that you can't get better. It's like, you know, as a freshman, go practice with varsity. You may get your tail kicked, but you may be better because of it. I'm starting to kind of lean the other way with Chris Paddock, because I don't know exactly what's going on between the ears. Is there a potential, anyone's worried, it could have an adverse effect of his confidence setting up for the 2020 season?
I suppose that, since, you know, he is so young and you are so new to being around him, that there could be, there's a possibility you don't know, right? I believe that they believe they know this kid's got it and that this isn't going to affect him. That, you know, whatever results are for the rest of the year, that he knows and they know he has already shown what he can do here. And so, you know what? If they push him a little bit and things go awry, well, you know, okay. And look, you're here at the end of your rookie season, you know, you got pushed around a little bit. Your stuff wasn't there, and you know, it just wasn't working. Okay, that's cool. Look what you did for the bulk of the rookie season, and that they won't even have to say that because that's who Chris Paddock is. Like, and you know what? Like, I would say I'm not a coach, I'm not a scout, but one thing I've been doing for 26, 27 years is sizing up people in this job, and I think they're right about Chris Paddock. I mean, I really do.
Kevin, the second half of the season is not going great for Andy Green.
No, I hadn't noticed.
Yeah. Have you been facing the wrong direction in the press box?
We're glad to break news.
I was talking to this guy, just showing me pictures of his house in Alpine. It's unbelievable. You know what I'm saying.
Avert your eyes.
Every day.
Is it... What is the status, the best you can, for Andy Green as of now?
Well, it seems it's been here for, the month or so this has been going on, and maybe even longer. I mean, in terms of, you know, they want to make sure they have it right for 2020 and beyond. It's tenuous. Gosh, is there anyone in the organization who wouldn't acknowledge where there's really good things this guy has done and that he does do? Nor, I think that, let's say he's fired on October 1st, on that day, there's not anyone in the organization who's going to say, we gave him enough to win. No one. I mean, come on. We should run him out of town if someone says that they gave Andy Green anywhere close to enough to win. I honestly, it's one of the things, and you know, fans are fans. Everybody's everybody, right? You can have your own opinion for you. That you somehow got hookered into thinking this was a team that was going to go to the playoffs this year. It was awesome for all of us to keep track of the wild card into July. For it to be exciting, to have good players. This is a different feel. Even though it's gone bad, this is a different feel. But this was never a team that was that good. Look at the pitching. Just alone the pitching. And I know there've been really good times, but it's just not enough. It was not sustainable. So but that's not all you're judged on. So they're judging him on, you know, what's the team look like? What's the relationship? They're not going to let the inmates run the asylum, but how are things going there? How's the lady? How are his coaches relating? What sort of improvements are happening? Again, I could argue. They could argue, and they are. Arguing, I don't mean like arguing like it's ugly, but like they are discussing among themselves what's going good and what's going wrong. So there's just a lot of factors, but it's certainly tenuous. This is a, this is a real thing that is being discussed. He is on the proverbial hot seat for sure.
Kevin, we will continue to read your work, San Diego Union Tribune. It doesn't get any easier tonight. The Dodgers come to town. Enjoy watching Ginger Guard versus Eric Lauer tonight. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Ace. There he is. Yeah, Dustin May, a.k.a. Ginger Guard, goes for the Pards. By the way, we do have a pair. We're going to send you to see some Aztecs football.
Costa. You're welcome.
Do that in a little bit.
After a crazy weekend of scorpion peppers, whacking weeds in the pine, and floating around on a flamingo raft, what ungodly shape will our dump take today? We'll find out after.
16 FM 103.3.
Your chance to win some tickets to go see the Aztecs take on Weber State. Enjoy Sky Show coming up at the end of our dump. Also, Nick Hardwick. The football hour on a Monday gets underway straight up at 8 o'clock. But let's get to this dump.
It's time for the biggest stories of the day, according to Mike Costa.
This is going to take some getting used to.
Does he know where this pirate hooker's mouth has been?
This is Costa's Daily Dump.
And the triple team will start with Benjamin Fletcher.
Hitting leadoff today, we go to a naked, drunk, high, and Florida man. An apologetic but confused man greeting Florida firefighters after starting a house fire as he tried to bake cookies on a George Foreman grill. When the grill first caught fire, he tried to put it out with towels, causing severe burns on his hands because the towels also caught fire. He later told police officers that he had smoked a bunch of weed and drank 2 liters of vodka before trying to make cookies.
Oh boy.
Florida man started the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. Florida man, lots of booze. Now his hands have boo-boos. Blazing weed, forming grill. Cookies are now burnt. This dummy started the fire. He tried to put it out but made it worse. Florida man started the fire. And he doesn't know it because he's in a blackout.
I almost wish you would just suddenly catch fire right now. I can't lie, and that's mean. That's like booing Andrew Luck, but that's the way I feel.
The paper toss afterwards. Good effort, kid. Well, whether it was Oliver Miller, Butterbean, or Jared Lorenzen, the late Jared, we often look for the big guy, the heavyset guy, the big bonehead guy to motivate us. Right, guys?
You got it.
Right, guys? In walks the fridge. Now, everyone loves the freeze, the mass sprinter who makes a living humiliating amateur athletes at the Braves games. But there's a similar hero plying his trade at Gwinnett Stripers games, and he is quite the specimen. He's taking the minor league by storm. Now, he does what the freeze does, but he does it with about an extra 60 pounds of weight on his frame for the big sprinter. So as Fletch rocks the dad bod, Costa's gone from dad bod to bad bod. And me, who wolfs down mom's cooking like it's my last meal each and every night, we say way to go, fridge, knowing that each sprint will most likely lead to an Achilles tear.
Damn. Who did Dwayne Haskins of the Redskins piss off? Quarterback Case Keenum's been named the starter. Week one against the Cowboys. He started in all three of the Redskins' first preseason games, but has not looked good. 16 for 30 in the preseason, 213 yards and a TD. Compare that to the rookie Haskins, who's thrown for over 300 yards a TD, but 2 interceptions on 16 for 30 passing. Haskins has also been sacked more times than Keenum. I guess you could say it's simply a case of who sucked less.
We didn't start the fire, but the guys are drinking vodka and smoking weed. Call that a blackout? I liked it, kid.
It was pretty good.
I'm trying to get in on it. Maybe we should record it professionally after the show.
Yeah.
Three of us will do it out.
Or maybe just talk about it before the show.
Maybe. It's a good idea. Hey, let's see if maybe Nick will back me, my defense of Colts fans. This is his home state, by the way.
That's right.
In Indianapolis, Nick Hardwick will be in just about 8 minutes. Big week, Costa.
Game week is here.
It's game week.
Aztec fans, we are home of the red and black football, and they get it all underway Saturday out there against Weber State. Also, KGB Sky Show.
Now, again, we got a pair of tickets for you, all right? Costa's got a trivia question. This ain't easy.
No, it's not. It's kind of a deep dive. 844-570-1360. 13th caller if you have the correct answer. One of the greatest ever to wear the red and black, running back Marshall Faulk, doing what he did before he went on to greatness in the NFL. Who was his head coach when Marshall Faulk was an Aztec? 13th caller, 844-570-1360. Those tickets are yours.
There's few people that can understand what Andrew Luck is going through. What did Nick Hardwick make of Andrew Luck's retirement? He'll tell us.